And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
With the final 3 weeks of countdown to the midterm elections, and with an apparent surge of anti-administration sentiment turning the poll colors blue, many in the environmental movement are hoping that a change in the balance of power in the nation's capital may be a signal that earth issues may finally be heard. Today, we hear from Republicans for Environmental Protection and go in-depth with a leading voice from the Christian right who brings a commitment to the earth into the hearts and spirits of his evangelical family. When your voice of the earth sings out, here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Today, we're taking a very special journey to discuss and explore, amongst other things, the emerging movement within what some would call the conservative Christian community to open their hearts and minds to the need to help save and restore this most miraculous gift of life we call the earth. I come to this with an open heart and mind. As my spiritual roots were born from the Christian faith, I was born into a family of serious Christian seekers who lived with a daily commitment to walk in personal relationship with Jesus. I can say from my experience, it is not an easy path to follow, and their devotion was more than I could follow. And so I found myself seeking answers by going to the source, to the woods and rivers, the seasons and the songs that filled the woods with a language that I continue to learn from every day of my life. And now it seems the paths are converging, as we witness a massive movement within the faith community to turn once again to the earth for the gift that it is, and to do good works in service to the guidance which is now being studied in the sacred scriptures of the Christian faith. Some will understand that rejoicing and hallelujahs are now echoing into the deep spirit of the woods and fields and mountains. We go in depth with Dr. Matthew Sleet, who is leading a life in faith with the earth. We dedicate segments 2 and 3 to this very special walk and talk. But we first bring you some thoughts from the policy director of Republicans for Environmental Protection and what is at stake in the upcoming midterm elections. It's all coming up when your voice of the earth continues following the news. So now, the news. As we reported last week, the population of the United States has officially reached 300 million people. Some unknown baby crossed over that line in the wee hours of Tuesday morning. We'll add our next 100 million before the year 2050. Iceland has decided to resume commercial whaling immediately. Following 2 decades in which the nation agreed only to take whales for research, Iceland joins with Norway in sanctioning commercial hunts for members of the world's largest family of creatures. Although the numbers are small, limited to 79 total whales, some feel Iceland is testing the waters of public opinion to measure the impacts a resumption of whaling may have on its global legacy if it were to continue whaling into the future. The forest fires, which have besooted the islands of Indonesia for weeks, are bringing cries and tears to the eyes of the nation's population of 6,000 orangutans. Game officials state that if the fires spread within the boundaries of the Tanjung Puting National Park, which is home to the intelligent creatures, they will evacuate the individuals to save their lives. Many of the fires have been set by hunters, who rely on the fires to generate new growth of tender leaves, which attract deer to the clearings and make it easy for them to hunt. Zimbabwe, one of Africa's traditional tourist destinations, renowned for its diversity and wealth of animal life, finds itself in increasing economic chaos, which is ultimately resulting in the loss of its world-class wildlife. Game reserves set aside to protect animals, including the African elephant, are drastically understaffed, resulting in poor, if any, effective management. Some elephants are heading into villages in search of food and water and end up being shot, often in retaliation for damage to homes and even villagers. Zimbabwe, which is actively attempting to lure tourists who are attracted to the wildlife, are in fact scaring them away, as word is spreading about the gruesome deaths of elephants by poorly managed game wardens. In a related story, young elephants in India are ravaging villages and people, and even being seen attempting sex with other species. Researchers surmise that the younger elephants, which traditionally rely on the long-term behavioral guidance by older elephants, find themselves growing up without such natural wisdom, as the oldest elephants are taken in an effort to manage populations. And finally, the legendary internet giant Google has announced that it plans to construct the largest customer-owned solar electric system at a corporate site, with final projections of a 1.6 megawatt site capable of powering 1,000 California homes. Google's announcement follows on Microsoft's commitment to place 2,288 solar panels at its research site in Mountain View, California, which is projected to produce 480 kilowatts, or about one-fourth the size of the Google Sunplex. And on a final happy note, with the top 10 list of most polluted places on Earth being released, none are in the United States. And that's the news. A few reminders. To our many new listeners, first a welcome and a thanks for tuning in. Now here's what you want to do. Come here often and start exploring the hundreds of topics covered and available for streaming whenever you want. From the homepage, open up the topic headings. You'll find shows on animal intelligence, the future of our oceans, things to do to help serve and save the earth, special shows on drawing plants, learning bird calls, all the things you'll need to know to make life on Earth most meaningful. And when you find something interesting, be sure to tell your friends to come along. It's always here at www.wildsidenews.com. And now to our first feature. In the weeks before the midterm elections, as the campaign slurry turns toxic, nevertheless, some very serious issues are being discussed about deep American issues like freedom, liberty, privacy, local control of the land, and much more. Today, we get political as we hear from a leading conservationist who traces his roots to the historic conservative values, which were the seeds of the environmental and wilderness movements. We're less than 3 weeks away from the midterm elections, and this is a very political year. I just feel something in the air that I haven't really felt for quite some time, particularly for a midterm election. This almost feels like it's a presidential year. There's a lot of people who are awakening to the significance that politics plays in our lives, and it's actually kind of, I think it's a good thing for America right now that we're actually starting to really pay attention to this, and the awakening is coming from many, many different perspectives. I'm really pleased to have on the show, again, Jim DePeso, who is the Policy Director for Republicans for Environmental Protection. Jim, welcome to the Wildside News.
Great to be with you, Sydney.
Would you agree that it seems as if there's a reawakening of the significance of politics in our world these days, at least for people like you and me and those of us on the street here?
Well, I think you're right, Sydney. I mean, there's a certain amount of electricity in the air. Here we are 3 weeks to the day before the election day, and the impact of this election could be momentous. It is very likely, or at least I'm hopeful, that turnout will be high, and that people are going to really spend some time thinking through their choices, checking out the candidates, really delving into what they're saying and how they're saying it, and looking at this as an opportunity for the citizens for whom this republic was established to really take charge of their government and let their elected representatives know that they expect them to work on solving problems, to work together constructively, to minimize political game playing and partisan bickering, and just try to seek the common good and work for it.
Your focus, Jim, is on the environment, and as a Republican, you're concerned about and fight for the environment from that perspective. And there's many Republicans, conservatives who share that perspective. I think your message right now, as of today, is broadening out to even a sort of a larger concern for for our country and its future.
Yeah, I think anybody who has paid any attention to the goings-on in Washington, D.C. for the last 2 years and probably for the last 6 to 10 years, it's very clear to me that Congress has become increasingly, almost dysfunctional. It's almost like watching a bad soap opera on television. The Congress, this past year has spent less time actually working, a 9-to-5 job like the rest of us have to do, getting the public's business done, fewer days on the job. And when they are on the job, they're spending too much time, bickering and fighting and, giving much more attention to, what the lobbyists want, chasing money, looking for, short-term political advantage, than solving the very real issues that this country is facing. I mean, there's a lot of issues. There, there's health care, there's foreign policy, and from our standpoint, there are some very serious environmental issues. I don't even want to call them environmental. They're broader than that. It has to do with our quality of life, the safety of our nation, and public health. And by that, I'm referring to the serious energy issues that we have facing us that Congress has not solved, the climate change issue that is growing more serious by the day, our overdependence on oil and what that means for our relationships with other countries overseas. There are just a whole host of very serious concerns that the public has a right to expect their Congress to go to work on and roll up their sleeves and try to solve. But the Congress just hasn't been doing that. So I think the opportunity here in November, regardless of what you are, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an Independent, or Libertarian, or whatever you are, is to really send a message to our elected representatives, both the incumbents and the challengers, to that the people expect the Congress to make a serious run at trying to solve the nation's problems and to work together constructively as adults. And to put an end to these games and the bickering and all the other distractions that are interfering with that.
Certainly some people are talking about the possible change in the balance. Unfortunately, there has been an imbalance. One side has ruled, and they've ruled unflinchingly and in many respects brilliantly, but there's too much power consolidated into one side. So there's no oversight. There's no capacity, even in many cases, for effective debate. We can't even talk anymore about these issues. And I'm not saying it's just a Republican thing, but it's just it has to do with a power issue. What are your thoughts in terms of trying to restore a balance? Do you think that's an important aspect?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you go back to the Founding Fathers. They designed a constitution, a constitutional structure that was just brilliant. And one of the fundamental principles of our constitutional structure is checks and balances. If you give anybody too much power, and I don't care who they are, whether they're Republicans or Democrats or whatever they are, any group of people or individual who has too much power is going to exert harm on the Republic. And the Founding Fathers knew that, and that's why they built in this brilliant system of checks and balances. Well, that system is sick right now. There are not enough checks. The Congress is not engaging in oversight of the executive branch, which is something that is an obligation for Congress. Maybe we need a Truman Committee to look into, bad contracts, misallocation of resources, throughout the whole panoply of federal government activities. We need Congress to do its job, and part of that is to exercise oversight. And as part of exercising that oversight, it has to be, this doesn't mean that, members of both parties have to agree with each other, but they have to agree to work together constructively. Because years ago, that's what happened. Democrats and Republicans worked together constructively to run the Congress as the people's lawmaking body. They exercised oversight, they dealt with public issues, and sure, they disagreed and fought with each other on the issues. They were working together and following the constitutional structure that the founders intended. That's not happening right now, and that just needs to change.
An interesting aspect, talking about politics, particularly as it relates to Republicans and business, I think, as I look back on this, I think when corporations, and I'm not anti-corporate at all, but I do feel that What we're in a bit of a war with right now with this particular administration is the fact that the corporations now have inordinately more power over policy than the people. And I don't know that that was ever supposed to be the way it was done. It was supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people. And this, from a Republican perspective, how do you deal with this difficulty between the power of business, which is supposed to expand and be profitable, and its role in politics? Because I think that's where we're having some problems.
Well, again, and I go back to the constitutional principles of checks and balances. True conservatives do not believe that business should just have free rein to do whatever it wants. That's not truly conservative. Too much power concentrated in government is bad. Too much power concentrated in various private entities is bad also. The old saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And a truly conservative Congress would take note of that and look for ways to ensure that businesses do not exercise so much power that they are impairing the common good. And again, we need Congress to take note of that again and make sure that certain special interests, are not calling all the shots.
You know, one of the things that I find interesting is the fact that, for example, in the last presidential election, the environment was almost not even mentioned, which I find so extraordinary, because now it seems, here we are 2 years later, and the environment, through hurricanes and concerns about global warming and other issues, is at least in the lexicon, it's discussed in the news. We hear about all the storms and things, but there's not a healthy environmental debate going on right now. It has to do with almost secondary and tertiary kind of media issues as opposed to on-the-ground issues. What do you think are some of the concerns that really need to be dealt with on a really direct basis that Congress should be facing right now?
On day one next year, Congress needs to sit down and start drafting a rational energy policy for this country. The bill that was passed in the last session, again, it was the typical Christmas tree special interest bill, a little something for everyone, but it didn't really establish the type of rational strategy that we need. And there are a couple of things that we need to work on right away. One is we have to reduce our dependence on oil. As long as we're dependent on oil, we will be dependent on foreign oil. There is no getting around that. We have to develop new technologies to reduce that dependence on oil and to create some more economic opportunities, both in our rural communities and in our major manufacturing centers. For number two, we need to have a climate strategy. We need to develop a national strategy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from transportation, power plants, industry, and what have you. And we need to do that in a way that is smart and will unleash the power of markets and innovation and entrepreneurship to develop those technologies that will reduce emissions, clean up the environment, and create those economic opportunities. That's the type of strategy we need. And Congress needs to get to work on that on day one next year.
In some respects, some people say, well, gee, that sounds like a very progressive, almost liberal, that sounds like a Democratic perspective. But I don't believe that that's true either. Because,
not at all. Yeah.
Because the Democrats are dropping the ball equally as much as the Republicans for a whole lot of different reasons. What I find interesting is what we're talking about now is a common ground. It's almost like a national party. We're fighting for our future. I personally believe we're literally fighting for the future of America. And if we don't do something here, we're just being led by people with blinders on. They don't seem to have this sense of where we're going and the fact that something must change.
Well, that's right. And when I'm talking about a rational energy strategy, I'm talking about a whole multiplicity of benefits that we could achieve if we just finally got smart on this. I'm talking about a more robust national defense, more constructive relationships with other countries overseas, less dependence on dysfunctional, tyrannical regimes that are either corrupt or writing checks for terrorists or both. I'm talking about developing economic opportunities, more opportunities for people to be in our rural communities to be more self-sufficient. These are not liberal or conservative. This is just common sense. This is the common good. And again, this is what the Constitution was established for, to promote the general welfare. And again, we need to find a way for Congress in both parties, members of Congress, to come together and work for the common good and put an end to the bickering and the game playing.
You know, as I go to the polls, there's a really good chance that I'm going to pretty much vote Democratic, because that's my leaning. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go to the polls, I should ask you how you'll vote, but I would guess that one would tend to vote more Republican.
I always give Republicans what I call the right of first refusal. If a Republican candidate's a good candidate, somebody who says the things that I think are important, then yes, I'm going to vote for that person. If the Republican candidate doesn't cut the mustard, and the Democrat does say the things I like, occasionally I've thrown a few votes at Democrats too. I'm not going to be shy about that. I tend to look at the individual's qualities and judge them for who they are.
I guess the point that I'm leading to is that is how the real world works.
Right.
I grew up in a family that tended to be Democratic, and hey, guess what? I'm a Democrat. And it may be the case that you, it's a similar case for you. And I think for a lot of people, that's kind of how it works. But that's what's keeping us kind of stuck, because we have these allegiances to the parties,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately, the parties are becoming dysfunctional. And we need to take a step back, perhaps, from party politics and find common ground. How do we do that?
Well, I think it's going to take a willingness on the part of citizens to look beyond those allegiances, those old habits or the family allegiances, and really take a broader look at what's at stake. And what's important is that these very serious problems that we're facing as a nation, that they get solved. And whether they're solved by somebody with an R after their name or a D after their names or an I after their names, I don't care. I just want the problems worked on, because, again, the good of a country is more important than the good of any party. Always has been and always will be.
Well, it seems to me what we need is to open up tremendous opportunities for dialogue, because I don't think we do. As you say, the Republicans and Democrats right now, all they do is insult each other. If a Democrat brings up some sort of a bill, it's going to be summarily rejected by the Republicans, and vice versa, which is ridiculous. It's absolutely there isn't. I mean, if you think about can you imagine running a business that way, or any other endeavor in our society where it's one side or the other? That is a recipe for total disaster. We need to find a way to start to discuss these things in a way that eliminates as much as possible those party affiliations and have this dialogue to find the common ground. I really think that's critical for us, because otherwise there are no forums for us to even discuss these things.
Well, that's right. And I think part of it is, that there's a lot of reasons why, we've gotten to this state of affairs that we're in right now. I think there is, with the present programs company, accepted, of course, there's a little too much polarization that's encouraged by, talk show programs and television interview programs, where the goal seems to be to get the guests to yell at each other and not have a constructive discussion about, or a constructive debate about problems. And again, we're not saying that everybody always has to agree with everything, but we need to conduct our debates civilly and be willing to listen to ideas that the other person has, because, who knows, you just might learn something if you are willing to listen to somebody who maybe has a different point of view from you. None of us knows everything. None of us is infallible. And we all have something to learn from each other. And to the extent we're willing to put aside our emotional needs to be right all the time and be willing to learn from each other, I think our country will be much better off.
Well, let's shift now to a couple of specifics. Let's talk about Richard Pombo. That seems to be a very interesting race, and there's something to be learned from that. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think Richard Pombo epitomizes the problem you see when somebody goes back to Congress, maybe very well-intentioned, may have ideas about things he'd like to accomplish, and gets caught up in the system, in the ego games, the power games, the money games, and the person becomes a caricature rather than a public servant. And you get people who, at the risk of being crude, they start drinking their own bathwater and they think it's champagne.
Hmm.
So I think that Pombo just epitomizes or personifies a lot of what's wrong with Congress. too much focus on money games and power games and who's up and who's down, rather than conducting the public's business, solving public policy problems.
In the Pombo race, there's an interesting struggle going on within the conservative ranks from an old conservative, Tom McClintock. Talk about that.
Well, I understand that Mr. McClintock is running for lieutenant governor, and those of your listeners who really pay attention to politics may remember him as one of the leading candidates during the recall election in 2003 when Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected governor. And I think what a lot of the old-time conservatives are worried about is that you have a Congress that's been governed by Republicans for, the last 12 years, and our federal budget situation is as bad as it's ever been. We are in hock. We have a Republican Congress that has allowed our country to go into hock to the world's largest communist country. I can just imagine how fast Barry Goldwater is spinning in his grave right now at the very thought of that. We are facing trillions and trillions of dollars of unfunded liabilities when you go out over the next several decades and you look at all of the, you know, pension and Social Security and Medicare and other obligations that are not funded. They're not funded. And what's the Congress going to do about that? How is Congress going to resolve these unfunded liabilities that are just breathtaking in scope? And nobody is talking about it. There's no plan. There's no there's no discussion about this. It's just something that the politicians seemingly would just rather ignore.
Mm-hmm. From the perspective of a Republican for Environmental Protection, who are some of the voices that you're paying attention to from your side?
There are a number of candidates that Republican candidates that if this is going to be a Democratic year, we really hope that they don't go out with the tide. A number of members of Congress who have always been responsible on conservation and environmental issues, and they're in very tough races. Like, for example, in Rhode Island, Senator Lincoln Chafee is in the fight of his life. He's in a very, very close race. In fact, I think he's down a few points in the polls right now, and I would be very sorry to see Lincoln Chafee defeated, because he is a voice of reason, moderation, and civility in the Republican Party. He takes a great deal after his father, Senator John Chafee. A number of members of the House in Connecticut, Nancy Johnson and Chris Shays, for example, are in very close races. And again, these are voices of reason and moderation and strong conservationists that it would be a shame to lose. And one of the reasons I mention this is not so much out of partisan loyalty, but we need middle-of-the-road centrists in both parties. People who have a habit of working across party lines are willing to sit down with their counterparts and try to reason out a middle-ground solution to a public policy problem. Because, let's face it, most Americans are probably somewhere in the middle. They are willing to support mainstream middle-ground solutions. Not everybody's going to get what they want, but the solutions are workable and will advance our country forward. That's what we need. We need more mainstream middle of the roaders in Congress. What we don't want to see, what I don't want to see, is to have a Congress run by far right polarizers on the Republican side, replaced by far left polarizers on the Democratic side. We'll just be back in the same soup again.
I think that's how the game works. If you control the most vocal voices, you control the dialogue. And I'm with you. I'm a mainstream radical. I really feel we have to work on change right at the center. And that's what I keep working on. It's been a great conversation here. Maybe we'll talk after the election. We'll get an update at that point. Jim DePeso, thanks so much.
It was always a pleasure, Sydney.
Also, let's talk about your website. So if people want to find out more about Republicans for Environmental Protection, go ahead.
Yes, our website is www.rep.org. In fact, one of the features we've just put up there is our list of candidate endorsements. We only endorse Republicans, but we don't endorse all Republicans. They have to earn our support, and you can see the list of environmentally responsible Republicans that we have endorsed for this election cycle.
Well, good luck to both of us.
Well, thank you so much, Sydney.
We turn our attention from Green Republicans to a new and powerful movement that is spreading within the faith communities and turning their power and spirit to tackle a massive responsibility of caring for the earth which God hath provided. When your voice of the earth continues, here on the Wild Side News.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.